This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. And there was a severe famine over all the land, yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But Jesus passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I spent 3 weeks on vacation, two of which were back in my hometown, which is Douglas, Georgia. It's north of the city of Valdosta, about 55-ish minutes up U.S. 441 or U.S. Highway 221. And from time to time, when I really get to missing the familiar of my home, I wonder a question. And the question is this: could I ever go back and live in my hometown? Have you ever wondered if you could ever go back to your hometown again if you're not currently living in that hometown? To stay for an extended period of time, or maybe to live out the rest of your life. And if you are not currently living in your hometown and you ponder this question, if you believe that you can't go back and you can't live in your hometown, is it because over time you've come to realize how your hometown has changed? Or that you have changed? Or maybe that both you and your hometown, the two, have changed? Are you still that hometown boy or hometown girl? Or have now you found yourself to have become someone completely different? Since you got your hometown start, haven't you found that your values, attitudes, ideas, and relationships have been growing, shifting, and changing? Since you got your hometown start, hasn't your journey taken you to places you'd never even envisioned and to friendships in which you could never have seen yourself with people so different from you, you could never imagine such a thing? Some of you, I suspect, know that about which I'm speaking, don't you? I wonder if this is what it is like for Jesus on the day that Jesus comes home, when Jesus comes back to Nazareth. Is he still the hometown boy who all remember? Or is he now the one who the prophets foretold? The wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God. The one called the beloved in baptism. The one in the wilderness who contends with and overcomes evil. The one whose first sermon opens with, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Last week's gospel ends with the same sentence that opens today's gospel. It's no accident. It's also no accident, is it, that in a small town, word has a way of getting around. Word has already gotten around in Nazareth of the 100-ish 80 gallons of water that Jesus turned into wine. Word has already gotten around in Nazareth of how people were seeking and finding healing in Jesus, how people were seeking and finding miracles in Jesus. Now, at long last, having been out there with the outsiders and the strangers, Jesus has come home. The good word has already gotten out and gone around, and now the locals have created expectations for Jesus. Don't you think that the locals have been saying things for months, like, since Jesus is out there healing perfect strangers and working all sorts of miracles for those people, those outsiders, can't you just imagine what Jesus is going to do for us, for his running buddies, for his schoolmates, for his kinfolks, for his hometown crowd? With such expectations in play, with Jesus in the synagogue now having twice announced, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," isn't the stage now ready and set for big time show stopping miracles? Seems so. Perhaps it is so. Yet expectations have so blinded locals that they're now blind to the very source of the miracles they seek and hope to find, because they're looking for these in their hometown boy instead of looking for these in their God. They look to see the hometown boy, and rather than their God, that is precisely who they receive. Some things must be seen to be believed. They just must. And on this day, nowhere does this prove itself truer than in Nazareth. Jesus made it clear in two bold statements about who he is and what he is about. Yet still the crowd is looking for Mary and Joe's boy. Just another local yokel. Not looking to be reduced back into that identity, to be shoehorned into being the hometown boy, Jesus refuses to relent, bringing up stories that everyone who goes to the synagogue knows, of Elijah going to an outsider, the widow of Zarephath, not to a widow of Israel, of Elisha looking to heal this outsider of leprosy, no one in Israel but Naaman the Syrian. Jesus makes it obvious how God is working outside of this local crowd, of this local community of first century Judea. And at this assertion, the hometown folks get stomping mad. Jesus has made it obvious how God is neither interested in nor limited by their homemade expectations. God is greater, whether they see it or not, than their small town idol, what we might call the God of their expectations. God the Son proves greater than the hometown vision the local yokels hold for Mary and Joe's boy. And Jesus makes this point clear, causing the locals to get stomping mad. Do you remember the last time that Jesus made you stomping mad? Now, I'm not saying just a little angry. I'm talking about being stomping mad, having what we Southerners would call a hissy fit. Was it when Jesus touched your small town idol, your holy relic, your billfold, your worship service, your lifestyle, your politics, your time management, your comfort zone, yourself? And in that instant, Jesus asks you to forsake it and to follow him. It's troubling, isn't it? It's really troubling when you think about it. And equally troubling is that whether we are willing to embrace it or receive it, we are probably that local crowd with a small town idol mentality, standing in this space, shocked, disbelieving, stomping mad, because we are so certain that we know this God of our expectations. When Jesus proves himself to be the God who we never expected. The reality here is this. God never belongs to us. We belong to God. God is unbounded, unlimited, so much more than the village idol or the God of our expectations. God goes far afield, far beyond, way ranging beyond our village limits to connect with outsiders and strangers, keeping company with the outsiders and with the strangers is actually where we are met by our God. And it is there that God meets us, right there where our expectations prove themselves to be as impotent as they truly are when placed before a God who will not be tamed. We are the people of an untamed God. The untamed God who calls us to forsake our metaphoric village limits and village locals' expectations and to actually be untamed too. We are to be the untamed people of an untamed God. Isn't that some part of what today's gospel is all about? Us leaving home with Jesus to keep company with outsiders and strangers before coming home? You'll know that you have left home with Jesus when you are feeling unsure, vulnerable, outside your comfort zone, beyond what makes you so sure of yourself. Leaving home with Jesus is like being in the ocean, out where you feel that you've gone too far, out where the water seems too deep, out where you feel that your feet can't touch bottom. In short, it's when you're in that space where you're no longer able to rely on you. Only on Jesus. Not on you. Only on Jesus. Our hope is not in the hometown boy coming back to us, but in the God who invites us to go out too far for us to feel safe. This is how come today's gospel bites down hard. It's because through the gospel, Jesus pushes past our limits to where Jesus meets outsider and stranger until outsider and stranger become close kin. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in our hearing, for we hear anew how God does not belong to us. We belong to God. We're God's children, belonging to God and made for untamed love, abiding in untamed love, forgiven by untamed love, mercifully nourished by untamed love, and called far afield, far beyond our limits, by untamed love, to do amazingly difficult things, even as it scares us to do so. Even when it makes us stomping mad that God invites us to get beyond our expectation, beyond every one of our expectations, to call us to embrace, to receive, and to live the untamed truth of an untamed people in the hands of an untamed God. Amen.